Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for we attempt to speak only those things that are found in the pages of God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. I'd like for us to study today concerning ticks and sin, to see the similarities between the two. You know, most of us probably are very familiar with ticks. We probably all have had them on us at some time. Ticks are those small little blood-sucking mites. They sit on bushes and grass and other spots that wait for a victim to pass by. And then they jump on and they crawl to a protected area of the victim, and then they begin to feed on blood. And if they go undetected, a tick will fill itself full of blood and then will drop off. So the similarities that we can see between ticks and sin is that they both feed on our life. Ticks feed on physical life, the blood. We know from Leviticus 17 and verse 14 that the life of all flesh is the blood itself, or the blood thereof. And sin feeds on our spiritual life, and that is the soul. In Psalms 41 and verse 4, the psalmist says, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." It says sin feeds on the soul, and it requires it to need healing. In Proverbs 8 and verse 36, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." So see, we wrong our souls when we sin. So truly, ticks and sin are similar in that both feed on our life. The tick on our physical life, the blood. Sin on our spiritual life, the soul. But also, both may start small enough that they're hard to be noticed. They may be hard to be detected. You know, some of those ticks are so small that when they get on you, that you can just hardly see them. In fact, many of them escape sight. They don't start off as big as we see them sometimes on animals, if we have a dog or a cat. And so it is with sin. Sin often starts small. A little white lie, one drink, a lingering glance at someone besides our spouses, an inappropriate touch, and on and on and on. Just those small things. And that's so often the way that sin starts. But we must be careful. We must be alert. We must be diligent to detect and to see. Another thing, too, concerning ticks and sin is that they both grow. Though they both may be small, that they both grow. A tick, if it's left untreated, will continue to grow larger. They can go from sometimes just pinhead size to the size of your fingernail. And when it comes to sin left untreated grows. And sin leads to more sin. We see a good example of this in 2 Samuel chapter 11, with the case of David and Bathsheba. David's sin started when he had lust for Bathsheba. What started out as seemingly an innocent night with David going up on the rooftop to get a breath of fresh air, supposedly. And yet, there she was, bathing, naked. He lusted after her. Did the sin stop there? Well, he could have. He could have had sinful thoughts of her and dismissed them. And that would have been the end of the story. And certainly it would have been the end of a lot of misery for a lot of people, David included, and for that matter, the whole nation of Israel, for that matter. But no, that's what sin never does. Sin never stops. So with that lust for Bathsheba, he calls for her. He commits fornication with her. She is the woman of a husband. She's married. But to add to that, this fornication leads to pregnancy. To try to hide sin, David calls for her husband to come from the war and hopes that with him and carrying further the marriage relationship with his own wife, that the baby would be considered to be his. But we find that Uriah would not even go into his own house because his men were in battle. He had a commitment. He had an allegiance to them. So David saw this wasn't going to work. So what does he do? He gets Uriah drunk. Another sin is committed. And we find then that with Uriah still remaining committed to his troops, David sends Uriah back to the battle, but carries a message word that he is to be put in the front of the hottest battle. All of that being with good assurance that Uriah will be killed. So now we have the sin of murder. See, sin never stops. Sin always grows. It leads to more sin. And today, one sin leads to others in an attempt to hide the first sin. Take, for instance, lies. We tell a lie to cover up something. Well, then we have to tell another lie to take care of the lie that we told. So sin's the same way. One sin naturally leads into another. Sin is never content to stop at a certain point. And then, too, when it comes to ticks and sin, the longer they're there, the harder it is to get rid of them. You know, if you find a tick on you before it attaches, you can get rid of it fairly easily. But once it attaches and it begins to grow, it's harder to get rid of. If you confront sin before it attaches, it's much easier to get rid of. But when you allow sin to remain, and maybe even lead to more sin, as we've talked about, it becomes more and more difficult to get rid of. There is so much to remove. And the deeper we get, the farther we go, the harder it is to stop. And the point can even be reached where we do not want to stop. Two, when it comes to ticks and sin, both can lead to death. You know, ticks often carry such diseases as the Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Lyme disease, and other types of diseases. Many people have died from these diseases. So it's interesting that such a small insect can make for such huge consequences. But so is sin. Sin leads to death. In James 1 and verse 14, he says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." We are guilty for our sins, not for the sins of our parents. No, we don't inherit the sin of Adam. We are guilty of sin because we have sinned. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And two, both ticks and sin carry consequences besides death. You know, illnesses from ticks can linger for a long time. I have a friend who has Lyme disease, and he is bothered by it, and has been now for several months. He's able to treat it, but it has its consequences. And the consequences of sin often remain even after forgiveness is received. There's a difference between the guilt of sin and the consequences of sin. Jesus came into the world to relieve us of the guilt of sin, but not necessarily the consequences of sin. We may have to carry them to our grave. David's sin. Well, when you think about it, the child that was born to him and Bathsheba, the consequences of their sin resulted in its death. So, yes, David was forgiven of his sin, but David yet still had to suffer the consequences of his sin. You know, we said a moment ago that we do not inherit the sins of our parents. We do not inherit the sin of Adam, but you and I have to live with the consequences. The consequence of Adam's sin was he brought death upon the human race. Well, you and I, it's appointed unto us once to die, and after this, the judgment. Our parents, our father, our mother may have done drugs or have done alcohol, and they are the ones that are guilty of that sin, not you as a child, but you may have to suffer the consequences of their sin. Maybe their life was cut short. You've had to grow up without a father or a mother for that very reason. So guilt's one thing, consequences are another. One can be forgiven of fornication, just as David was, but yet they still had to live with the consequence. Today, there are all of the venereal diseases that people can contact through sexual relationships outside marriage. Well, we can be forgiven of the sin, but we may have to live with the disease that comes as a result of it. There are months during the year when we don't have to worry too much about ticks, but sin, it's always among us. In Genesis 4, beginning with verse 9, let's listen to a conversation that took place between God and Cain. The Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries from me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto her, unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Yes, friends, sin can be forgiven, but consequences may have to be lived with our entire lives. That's why it's so important that we study God's Word that gives us the information, the devices that Satan uses, and we need to be aware of them and apply them into our lives that we might not sin against God. We see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM, and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.